A very good morning. In behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Sanhedrin Memches, Sanhedrin 48b, pagination is 96. We're on the topic of Haruge Malchus, if a person was killed because of rebelling against the king. And our question is, if Nichseihem Lemelech, if the property automatically goes to the king in such a case. The halacha by Haruge Bezdin, if Bezdin kills a person, is that Nichseihen liyorshim, the property goes to the inheritors. But in the case of Haruge Malchus, the Gemara outlines a machlokes. The way the Rambam paskins is that indeed Haruge Malchus is different, and that there are a number of distinctions between Haruge Bezdin and Haruge Malchus. The Rambam in Hilchos Avel, Perek Aleph Halacha Tes, tells us that by Haruge Malchus, if a person was killed for rebelling against the king, Misablim, the relatives do mourn, Kivrei Avoseihen, the person is buried in the family plot, Umamonam Lemelech, and the money, assets, go to the king. But Haruge Bezdin, the Rambam tells us, is ein misablam aleihem, they do not mourn. Ein nikvarim in avoseihem, initially they are not buried with the family, in the family plot. Umamonam liyorsheihem, and the property goes to their inheritors. So again, the way we paskin, just focusing on money, is Haruge Malchus, the money goes to the king. Haruge Bezdin, the money goes to the inheritors. With that basic background, we begin the Gemara, which can be found counting up from the wide lines, about 10 lines. In the middle of a line, Tafresh Tanu Rabbanan, we learnt Haruge Malchus Nichseihem Lemelech, Haruge Bezdin Nichseihem Liyorshim. The initial opinion is that there's a distinction. As we said, the Rambam paskins as well, when the king kills, the king gets the money. When Bezdin executes, the relatives are able to keep the money. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af haruge malchus nechseyem liyorshem. Rabbi Yehuda says, there is no distinction. Either way, the money goes to the inheritors. Omru lei l'Rabbi Yehuda. They said to Rabbi Yehuda the following question, and they're going to invoke the question from the story of Navos, who was killed through an Achav Izevel plot. The story is found in Malachim Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph, where Achav, a wicked king, who was married to Izevel, a wickeder queen, eyed the property of Navos, the vineyard of a person by the name of Navos, who was a righteous person, and Achav wanted that property. We'll see in a moment they were related. It could be that Achav wished that that property had fallen to him. Presumably, there are lots of nice properties in the world, but he was eyeing that property and he wanted Navos to sell it to him, and Navos refused. Now, refusing the king, if the king, and particularly his queen, have serious issues, became a very dangerous situation. Amar lei l'Rabbi Yehuda, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, in that story of Navos, where Izevel frames Navos, she gets two witnesses, Bilya'al, wild, lawless people who were willing to lie under, with testimony, as we would say, under oath. They were willing to lie in testimony. And they said testimony that Navos had cursed God and the king, for which it was a capital punishment. Therefore, Izevel was able to orchestrate the death of Navos, and therefore, Achav was able to obtain the property. So the question is, how exactly did it end up in the hands of the king just because they killed him? Amru le Rabbi Yehuda, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, Alo kvar nemar, hinei bekerem navas asher yarad sham lerishto. It says in the Pasuk that Elio was told, go meet up with Achov to rebuke him on what just happened. You can find him in the vineyard of Navos, which he went there to inherit. It sounds like it was some legal inheritance. Of course, the framing of him and the false testimony is all a violation, but the fact that he's now on the property was following the mechanics of normal law, that if someone is executed because of cursing the king, the property would go to the king. Those mechanics seem to be what's indicated. Amar lahen, and Rabbi Yehuda answered, that's not how Navos got the property, because he's the king, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the king does not get the property of people executed by the crown to respect the crown. Rather, ben achi aviv haya, they were relatives, v'ra'i l'yorsho haya, and he was the next person in line to inherit him, and therefore Achav got the property literally as a Yerusha, because Navos was now dead. Ask the Chachamim, what kind of answer is that? V'alo harba banim hayulo. Navos had many children, and they should have inherited before Achav did. Rashi, by the way, says, Lo yadano mehecha yalfi. I don't know the source that Navos had so many children that the Gemara should pose such a question. But that's the question. Navos would have children. The children would inherit before Achav, who's not an immediate relative, would be inheriting. Omar lohen, Rabbi Yehuda answered, Oso ve'esbonav horag. All this plot, Achav Izevel, the plot that occurred, killed Navos and his children. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Im lo estimei Navos v'estimei bonav ra'isi. Hashem says, I see the blood of Navos and the blood of his children. V'rabbanon, and the Rabbanon say, no, our question is a good question, because the children were still living. And when it says, Demei Bonav, the blood of his children, it doesn't mean literally that his children were killed. Hahu banim haru'uyim latzeis mimenu. It's referring to the children that he was still fitting to have had he continued living. And this type of wording is what we find that Kayan was rebuked upon his killing Hevel, the first murder. Kol demei achicha, the sound of the bloods, plural, of your brother. And our understanding is that not only is Kayan guilty of killing Hevel, but he's guilty of all the people that Hevel would have had as children had he continued living, and that murder in particular is such a tremendous offense because of what it affects. Likewise, in the positive, if a person saves one life, ki'ilu kiyam olam male, it's like saving the world, that's not just the infinite value of the person, but it's also the fact that a person can then have children and expand, and all of that is attributed to the person who saved the original person, demei, the lives, both bad in the case of Kayan and good in the case of his salvation. Again, the focus of the Gemara was to clarify what happens to the property of Haruge Malchus, someone who's killed because of an offense to the crown. There is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that property goes to the inheritors. The Shita of the Tanakama, which is the way the Rambam paskins, is that the property of such a person does go to the king, and if so, it's easy to understand why the property of Navos went to the king, because part of the accusation against him was that he cursed the king, and therefore he was not just being killed by Beis Din for cursing Hashem, he was also being killed for cursing the king, and therefore the king would get the property. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.